Well, it's time for our presentation now, and it looks like the technology is working. I'd like to welcome Alex Pinfold and Jen Boland to our service today. They're going to be our presenters. Forever Micro Ranch Sanctuary is the focus of the work that they do. And I'm again using technology here, and we're just hoping that everything works. Okay. Jennifer and Alex are co-founders of Forever Micro Ranch Sanctuary, which is located in the southwest of Saskatchewan, just outside the town of Frontier, 15 minutes from the Montana border. Forever Micro Ranch Sanctuary is a nonprofit organization guided by a volunteer board of directors which advocates for social and environmental justice with farmed animal well-being at the center of its purpose and mission. This sanctuary provides a permanent home to rescued, neglected, and unwanted farmed animals while working to raise awareness of the plight of farmed animals locally and beyond. Extending throughout Forever Micro Ranch's sanctuary's framework is a model of an evolving multi-generational vegan eco-village, including a sustainable food forest project and opportunities for people interested in coming together to invest in a sustainable and collaborative way of living. So welcome. We look forward to hearing what you say, because it ties in with our sense of our responsibility for the interdependent web of life. So good. Thank you.
Yes, we're sort of just going to, alternate a little bit.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah. So because of the time factor and, you've been very patient with the technology and so on, what we'll do is we're very open to interjecting questions as we're going through each slide, as opposed to waiting to the end of the presentation. It probably would be probably flow a little bit easier for everyone to be able to interject with questions and inquiries around what we do and who we are, and or to clarify any points that we make that maybe the discourse or the language doesn't necessarily, ring with you or be part of your reality in your day-to-day life.
And for everybody's reference who don't know us, I'm Alex and this is Jennifer.
Nice to meet everybody. Thank you so much to Heather Lau for inviting us to come here. We're very, very pleased and very honored that we could come and speak to you about what we do.
Perfect. This one? Okay. Just see if we can get a slide moving.
Okay.
Here's hoping. Here we go.
So there is a lot to talk about, and we've condensed, what we do and what we have planned. Particularly me, I'm quite a bit older than Alex is, and so I have spent quite a few years planning and formulating and realistically needing to arrive at the right place in my life to actually. To take action for a lot of the values that I have around social justice issues and environmental issues, and the glue to the ideas that I come with are situated with farmed animals, and the basis of that is from my work over 30 years working with disenfranchised and dying people. Farmed animals hold for me and for Alex the most meaningful way to move the idea of oppression out to the public, and how that it impacts and is interrelated to everything that we do. And it is an intersectional, to use the word, perspective on oppression is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, our mission is reclaiming quality of life, intentionally empowering and advocating for the lives of farmed animals. So through everything that we do, we are advocating for farmed animal well-being.
Reclaiming quality of life, intentionally empowering, is obviously not exclusive to farmed animal work and to the plight of farmed animals. It's for many years, as a healthcare worker, I have done program development for palliative care. I've worked on palliative care units and in programs for the past 30 years in Toronto and Vancouver, and worked with people such as Gabor Maté. Some of you have probably read or heard about Gabor Maté. And actually Dr. David Kuhl, who is also a very significant palliative leader in Canada. And for many years, working on palliative care units brought me to the ability to actually move further out into the more disenfranchised areas. And so particularly in areas where, for example, the downtown east side, I lived and worked in the downtown east side for numerous years. And as working with people in alleyways, in single room occupancy housing units, people who have who are the most disenfranchised people converge in areas all over the world, and the downtown and east side of Vancouver is one of them. Intentionally empowering is the suspended framework of the work that we do with farmed animals as well. So these are the genomes or the ideas that we work with when we work with not only on the ground level at the sanctuary, but with other sanctuaries and other rescues that do the work of helping farmed animals. Particularly, we focus on farmed animals. So we don't focus on, although dogs and cats are farmed animals as well throughout the world, all over Asia and everywhere in the world, we focus particularly on farmed animals that are goats, cows, chickens, spent hens, roosters, those kinds of animals. So... and then we can go to the next slide, yeah. So that's really our mission statement. Mm-hmm. And within that is a lot of history. It's a lot of work that I've done over the years, program development in First Nations communities from Haida Gwaii, all across in the north, and so on. Oh, I guess they're a little bit slow. I could keep on talking here.
Okay.
So we're just going to give you a little, you know, because we like to formulate ideas around imagery and sound and so on. We want to bring Gabe, our rooster, if we can, right to you. Gabe was a discarded rooster who is, you know, a vision, an image, a symbol of hope for us. He came from a very difficult place.
Looks like it's not.
And
it's okay. This one's not going to play.
Okay. So he does this great cock-a-doodle-doo thing, and it's just fabulous. And we wake up to that.
What time?
Yeah, they're not too early. You know, I'm it depends.
Generally with the sun.
Yeah, generally with the sun. So.
Yes.
He doesn't start, even in the summertime, he doesn't start with the 4 o'clock thing yet.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So we'll just...
And we don't have an impression for you, so...
Yes, we can all do it together if you want to do it together.
Let's see if it's... Next slide.
So we're just a little...
It is very slow, hey? Okay.
So
we've started a little bit into this already.
Yes.
The face behind the fork. So as co-founders of Forever Mike Ranch Sanctuary, we are longtime human and non-human wellness advocates, both Jennifer and I. We relocated to the province of Saskatchewan from Vancouver, BC, in the spring of 2013 with the purpose of building a small farmed animal sanctuary.
So in our travels, we live a vegan philosophic, we live as vegans and have for many years, and evolving vegans, learning what the process of veganism is, a continuum. It's certainly not an inert stance that anyone takes that really is into a vegan philosophic. So we knew when we came to the place that we did, we knew that we would have barriers and challenges to the idea of presenting ourselves to a community where there is traditional farming, perhaps a very hierarchical way of conducting social business and personal business as well. And so we can tell you that it has been a challenge. We have continued to hold the little sanctuary fort. And we also very much respect the tradition. There is 100 years worth of farming and cultivating. We don't necessarily have every single day being a joyous day. Some days are very difficult. Some days are faced with people, telling us that what we're doing is not welcome, and so on and so forth. So we continue to be respectful. Mm-hmm. And to continue to soldier on. So we just wanted to not belabor that point, but we wanted to tell you that we do have challenges there, fairly significant ones. Mm-hmm. And most of our supporters are from across the country. They're not from that particular area. And we chose that area because of that. And we chose that area because we knew that we would be in a very constituted area that is significantly, their discourse around farmed animal relational practice is not there. It's not existent. It doesn't exist. So it doesn't have. There is no parameters or paradigm set up to relate to an animal, to name them, to relate to them, and to have them just be your companion. So that's the reason why we chose that area. Yes. Yes, we will. Yes, and so our animals. Just to answer that question, yeah, our animals are they're a diverse group. So we have hens that are no longer laying that people don't want. Mm-hmm. We have hens that have been neglected and abused, and people cannot take care of them any longer, so they've given them up. We have roosters who were discarded. We have goats who've been rejected by their mother and would not or could not be maintained by the farmer or the people who owned the goats. We have donkeys and horses who were neglected in pastures and never seen until someone decided that they knew a place for them to come. Mm-hmm. All of our animals are rescued, unwanted, neglected. Some of them have been abused. Everyone's idea of abuse or intention to neglect is very, very diverse. So we're very respectful around people's ability to let their animal go and let their animal come to a sanctuary. Everybody has a different way of viewing neglect and abuse in life, and so we're our focus is mainly on the animal, treating the situation or the person that the animal is coming from with respect, very non-judgmental, and anything to make sure that the animal is taken out of the situation. So respect and a non-judgmental attitude is very important. So they come from all over, yeah.
You must advertise, do you? So the horse gets around that you're going to take
others. Yes.
Some farmers would just kill
animals. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, we do. We have different platforms. We have social media platforms and so on and so forth. In that particular area, in the area that we live and have the sanctuary, mostly it is word of mouth. Mm. Yeah, mostly it's word of mouth.
And there is a little bit of a political element in the sense of farmers giving animals to a sanctuary as opposed to doing the traditional thing of allowing them either to die killing the animal.
Yeah, and it's
so in some senses, some that does limit the amount that farmers would reach out to us because they wouldn't maybe not want to actually be associated with having given an animal to the sanctuary, mm-hmm. perhaps. Mm-hmm. So it comes with a lot of peripheral stuff, too.
Yeah. Now, we do have supporters in the area who, A, don't use social media platforms. So, for example, they will not use Instagram or Facebook. And we know they're there. But their father or grandfather might have been farmers. So there is a lot of underground discourse. And so we do get the support, we get the nods, we know the people who are just not able to be completely out, and so we totally respect that, and we're really sensitive to that because we are a same-sex couple, so we're sensitive to the oppression around, which is a big part of the basis of farmed animal sanctuary. It is the basis is oppression. Do you want to answer that?
Could you repeat the question for people who can't hear? Would the speaker repeat the question? Could you repeat it?
Yes. So you're asking us how do we interpret the oppression that we are subject to?
Yeah, on a day-to-day basis, how do you transfer that concern to the oppression in general of people?
Well, that's a good question because, and we could probably go to the next slide and continue going on, talking about the critical social theories around intersectionality and how interrelated oppression is spread from one disenfranchised group to another, right? And it's the natural law of oppression. It spreads from one path of least resistance to another.
So if we don't fully answer your question by the end of our presentation, we can expand on that some more. So our commitment is to promote and maintain a space of optimal wellness for non-humans and humans alike at the sanctuary. We believe and value that it is possible to live a compassionate life that supports simple, local, ethical, and sustainable options for a healthy, abundant future for all beings and our planet.
So first of all, we open the sanctuary up to, for example, what we call a farm stay. And that is, we invite everyone. So every person who comes to farm stay comes as they are. The only... There are principles and guidelines. We ask people not to bring any animal products to the out of respect for the animals that are there. So they bring no animal products. If they're still wearing leather and so on and so forth, of course, you know, we invite people to come as they are. One does not have to be a vegan to come to Forever Micro Ranch Sanctuary. We accept people as they are. The idea, though, is to promote veganism as a philosophical stance. And so we encourage that if they're coming to the sanctuary and spending time with us and the animals, we wish for them that they will continue on their journey of veganism. And we accept that people are faced with social traditions that perhaps are barriers for them. And so we work with that. We accept people where they're at, you know, and that's how we want them to leave knowing that there is no pressure to change their lifestyle if they choose not to. Living compassionate life is, it's a multifactorial experience for a lot of different people, and their opportunities to live a compassionate life is diverse. And some people come to the sanctuary, and because of the language that we use and the way that we present, and because of our history working with people who are disenfranchised, they learn to feel the essence of compassion. They start to feel some of them. Some people who have never been given a chance to use the terminology around loving kindness and compassionate care. Sometimes they're able to take that incremental little bit of information, and we see on Facebook or Instagram, or they call us or send us emails, and we see that it builds. We do see that it builds, and so we're hopeful. And many of those people come back, and once they start contacting us, they continue to contact us. So that's our experience. It's very experiential. Because we're a same-sex couple, and that's a great question, that's one of our barriers. So the school that is in Frontier is a creationist school. So, of course, they would not bring their kids to us.
No, that's great also, question.
That's a multi-positive question, too, because we don't act as a petting zoo. So one of the things, we don't encourage that animals be used for our entertainment. They're our companions. That can be a little bit confusing. And, of course, we do have the occasional child come, mm-hmm. and they're more than welcome. Yeah. And then we from a capacity building point of view, we teach them about not using animals, that we don't use animals for entertainment. We don't ride the horses and so on. It is, yes. And it's the only one, yeah. It's yeah. Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. And of course, legislation is, the ideas of the black and white sort of stance around creationism is far-reaching. As far as human rights go or social justice, I mean, the creationist. I can still be told that as a gay person, I will be the only place on the planet in 53 years that I've been told that I will not make it. I will not be saved is in one interaction on with a woman who cut my hair, and of course that conversation I met that with such fascinating. I was fascinated. She was offended that I was fascinated with that conversation. I was fascinated that somebody would actually say that to me, and I believe that everyone in and salvation is an interpretive word, correct? I mean, it's based on everyone's interpretation of it. So, I'd like to think that in work situations and in all situations that, you know, legislation would rule, but it doesn't in terms of other people's ability to set forth on a path that tells you what they think and what they don't agree with about you. And I wish you're an idealist, obviously, and that's great. That's great. That's great.
There's a couple of questions over at the back.
Sorry. Yes. Well, actually, Two Spirit, I've spent most of my program development work working in Haida Gwaii, northwest of BC, mostly in the last 20 years, and in the downtown east side, where the First Nations population is about 70%+. And Two Spirit historical perspectives are scriptural and very, very old. And so in areas, for example, in the northwest of BC, the status of Two Spirit helped me to develop relationships, a relational practice sort of stance with people who, men and women, who would be segregated to a female healthcare practitioner or a male one. And so that gave me a really good opportunity to inclusiveness, to see all genders that were represented, all genders.
Hunting?
Oh, well.
Maybe we'll...
Yes.
We can move through our presentation.
Yes.
We'll get back to that question.
Yes, and
okay.
That's a good question, of course. That's always a great question for a vegan that's offered, you know, in a special ceremony of fish eyes or, you know, that you cannot refuse. So I've become quite creative, but I've also, in dealing with death and dying, to be honored and to be in a household with people who have just lost a loved one. There's only been once in 30 years that I've sat down and ate a plate of food that was given to me because I chose not to refuse. So, yeah, it's only been one time.
Okay, so what is a farmed animal sanctuary?
Yeah, so this is where
we'll hopefully answer that question for how we view what a farmed animal sanctuary is and how we operate by the end of this presentation.
Yeah, so you can just go to the next one. And farm animal sanctuaries are defined by different people. Some people call their farmed animal sanctuaries because of their history, because of where they're from and so on. It's a very temporal... We use a temporality sort of stance as well. Temporality is past, present, and future. Who we are, what we bring in to our daily lives, what we're constituted to understand about ourselves, and how we act with the people who are the most disenfranchised around us. And so some sanctuaries, and there are many, we're part of a global sanctuary movement, are like petting zoos for children. Or are the founders are not vegan, or an array of different situations, and they call themselves because there is no in Canada particularly there is no guiding principle, or there is little evidence based practice. There is some viable research, some evidence-based practice concerning farmed animal sanctuaries and the organizational behavior that farm sanctuaries undertake. That's just in the last maybe 20 years, and so we'll get to some of that. So one individual particular is Jean Bauer. I don't know if you've heard of Jean Bauer. Is a fellow who started Farm Sanctuary Movement in the States, and that was in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And he has maintained Farm Sanctuary and has a couple of satellite programs going on. Also Pam Ahern, who is Edgar's mission. And these are people who we have learned from and from other guiding principles have taught us not just about farm animal sanctuary and about the discourse around compassionate care towards animals, but the idea of resilience and the idea of continuing on regardless of the barriers that we face. We are sensitive human beings like we all are in this room, but we are also choosing to be here. We actually chose this place. As you asked the question, why did you go to that area? And we chose it. Just like I chose to be in blackened out healthcare areas 30 years ago where there was no healthcare and people didn't go down to see. So there was no research about why people were getting sick in disenfranchised areas big cities and so on in Toronto and Vancouver. So we chose that area because we knew that the discourse was limited around compassionate care and equality stance towards farmed animals.
Mm-hmm. Another one of another sanctuary that aligns quite closely with our mission and vision and values is Vine Sanctuary, and they're based out of Vermont. And Vine's an LGBTQ-run farmed animal sanctuary. They offer refuge to more than 500 animals and work towards a plant-powered future. So again, that veganism promotion.
Their website is fabulous. We aspire to their website. They do a lot of work. They do come from an academic background as well. So there is some alliances there for us, just because we find we take refuge in their language and the way they express their aligning with farmed animals. Mm-hmm. And it's a website that's very worth looking at, and they offer lots of different articles and so on, and references and links to different academic approaches to farmed animal well-being.
Mm-hmm. Some of our sanctuary residents include pigs, donkeys, goats, ponies, miniature horse, retired performance horses, hens, roosters, ducks, dogs, and cats. Sanctuary residents have been rescued from meat, dairy, and egg industries and other circumstances where they've been unwanted and neglected.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, within the vegan philosophy.
To repeat your question for anybody who didn't hear, the great question about population control, and do farm sanctuaries employ any kind of population control, like a rescue, like the SPCA would?
You know, that's a really important question, and that's, you know, from a principal point of view. You know, we discourage breeding of any sort, and that includes dogs and cats as well, of course, and any animal at all that can be rescued. We support a no breeding policy,
and we do neuter male animals that come because of the invasive nature of spaying animals. We avoid that unless it's required for the health of the animal. We weigh the benefit and risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good one.
In the egg industry, there's thousands and thousands of tents that are not wanted anymore. How can you deal with that problem?
There are many research groups and groups that are that are very involved in animal investigation, and they, as well as we, get information on animals that either you have to be there at the right time or you miss the opportunity. So there's all of a sudden there's 200 spent hens that are available. So everybody, it goes across the country, who is closest, how we can manage it, how many we can take, how many we can take in, how we can organize transportation. And these things now with the internet happen very quickly. Unfortunately, there's never enough people to take animals.
So part of the work is the downstream in terms of like taking the animals and caring for the animals, but a large part of what we do is also promoting eating a plant-based diet to reduce the continuation of producing all of those animals that will need a place.
Yeah, and it's just, it's sort of introducing to the global community, the local, national, global community, that veganism is a starting place to reduce, you know, the breeding issue, all the issues around disenfranchisement, mm-hmm. all the issues around oppression. Yes, we have no volunteering veterinarians. We have a vet who's about 2 hours away, and he will come. But that is something that health assessments for animals have to be very careful and very consistent. And accessing a veterinarian to come to us because of our situation, because of who we are and our relationship towards farmed animals, veganism, and because we're a couple, can be very tricky. So we have to be very smart and with the focus on the well-being of the animal. In a catastrophic situation, we would be pretty challenged. Mm-hmm. However, we would do our very best to contact the vets that are as closest to us.
In the interest of time, we'll try to move through our presentation and answer questions as we can towards mm-hmm. the end. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. This is Lupin.
And Lizzie.
And this is Lizzie the Chihuahua, Lupin the pig.
Yes.
There's the a brief, and we could talk, but that could be a 3-hour class we could give you around intersections.
Yes.
The intersection of oppression, racism, homophobia, ecocide, sexism, and speciesism.
Yep. They're all related.
Yes.
So basic, simple definition of speciesism is the assumption of human superiority leading to the exploitation of animals, and this really gets to the root of all oppressions in the world, and this is part of why we do the work we do. This is a quote from Vine Sanctuary that really says it very well. We couldn't have said it better. We work within an eco-feminist understanding of the intersection of all life and the intersection of all forms of oppression. Thus, we welcome and work to facilitate alliances among animal, environmental, and social justice activists. So some of the networking and relationship building work that we do in our young days as a sanctuary is with other organizations and advocacy groups. As you know, we seek local groups as much as possible. They're few, but groups such as like a women's shelter and the food bank near us and so on, we do seek to develop relationships with those groups as well. The slides are really slow.
Yeah, so in terms of relationship to any disenfranchised group, we work and have for many, many years. And work with farmed animals is an extension of the work that we've done with disenfranchised humans.
Mm-hmm. So what sets Forever Migrant Sanctuary apart from farm sanctuaries around the globe? We offer short and long-term farm stay experiences. It is our understanding, according to our exhaustive research, that we're the only farmed animal sanctuary actively evolving toward the development of eco-village. And that employs the model of the resident animals, rescued farmed animals, as active members of the community. They're not kept as pets or for farming purposes. They are community members equally as humans.
Yes. So even within the vegan world, you'll discover that there are vegans who are plant-based people, and they eat, that's their veganism. That's how they define their veganism. That is, they eat plants, and they work out, and that's their vision. And our vision is something much broader. Much broader. And it's sometimes confusing to even vegans. We've had vegans even in the smaller cities in Saskatchewan who have been really confused about what we do. And really, actually, to the point where they really disconnect from us. Mm-hmm. Because I think the language and our history of working with disenfranchised people is... it's so defined for us, but it's not necessarily really defined for every vegan. Mm-hmm. So even within the vegan community, there are definite divisions of understanding. Mm-hmm. So this woman, Kasia Joubert, sorry.
I was just wondering, you can see we're losing some of our...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Because of the time.
No, that's fine, yes.
So maybe you can just sort of wind up now.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Downstairs, further questions.
Okay, that's great. Sure. Absolutely, yes.
Just try to skip forward a little bit for okay. Last image of...
So the last part is just about how we evolve from farmed animal sanctuary to the eco-village that we are becoming. Yes. So everything is moving forward with us, the farm animal sanctuary movement, the ideas around veganism, and we are... becoming and evolving towards eco-village, a multi-generational eco-village where all of us, any age group, whatever diverse background we have, can come together on this property.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is our property, yes.
Yeah.
With some...
So that includes the tiny house movement, where people have little tiny houses that they're building. That includes people coming to short stay, farm stay. That includes staycations, you know, the staycation movement. That includes as diverse as you could think of as people are, you know, to come to grow food. A lot of people to get a community plot in a large city like Vancouver and Toronto is virtually impossible now to get your own community plot to grow food. So we're now getting to that. We have people from Toronto, from all over Europe. We have people from across the country who want to be able to come, grow some food, stay for a while, plant their little tiny house or whatever they want to build there and grow their food, and then they want to come and go as they please, and we invite them to do that.
Mm-hmm. And these are all of our 27 residents. Currently living with us. Yes, which I could list through names, but you can definitely learn more about all of them on our website. Yeah. Each of their stories is listed on our website, and we do revisit their stories and update on how they're doing, any changes in their health and their day-to-day personalities through social media.
We give you the relationship of who they are, what their rescue is, and we align that to the human experience. So if they've experienced loss or physical injury or psychosocial injury, we write on as much as we can on the relationship as we relate to them, and what, even if it's an anthropomorphic understanding of what they do or our understanding, we relate to them on that level as well. And we write the stories about that, and they are our companions. They live with us, and we protect them as much as we can from you know, within their life as we can.
And this year... we are going to be presenting a Prairie Veg Fest as well, which we can talk more about.
The first in Saskatchewan. So we're going to have Prairie Veg Fest, whether It is whether there's five of us or whether there's 100 of us. So we are starting it. We've had lots of feedback from different places in the prairies, Manitoba and Alberta, that VegFest they have had attempts to begin, but never anything that is a continuous process and event. So we're going to do that. And whether we get a few people, VegFest has begun. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Alex and Jennifer. I had the sense that as you were talking, that you were missionaries. You have a mission and a message. You have a philosophy, and you're living out that philosophy. So thank you as messengers of wisdom. And for tying in, like, people may wonder, well, why at a church do you have a presentation such as this? Well, actually, it ties in with our second principle, which is that we affirm justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. But it ties that then to our seventh principle, which is the respect and respect for the interdependent web of life. So it brings us sort of to a fuller understanding maybe of that message. So thank you very much.